Hello friends, we are on chapter 11, a very important chapter from the perspective of helping the common man. Priority sector advances. The learning objectives of this chapter would be to understand what exactly is the meaning of priority sector. After understanding what exactly is the meaning of priority sector, we'll understand the various categories under priority sector. And we'll also understand how banks are helping or providing finance to priority sectors through investments or giving loans to the priority sector. To understand priority sector, we have to go through those days where there were only private banks existing in the country. And when we talk about private banks, they were existing solely for commercial purpose. And in some way or the other, the common man was neglected. Not just the common man was neglected, the sectors, certain sectors of economy which could prove very useful for the growth and development of the country were not provided finance at all, or banking services were not available for them. And for this reason, a very, very important step was taken by government to nationalize as many as 20 private sector banks, which brought under the control of the government more than 95% of the banking industry. And this banking industry, which came under government's control, were mandated to provide a certain percentage of their finance to this essential sectors of the economy, which was called as the priority sector. The basic idea or the major intention of nationalization was to take banking to the remotest villages of the country and to the unbanked centers. The top requirement of this move was to help the common man to finance those sectors identified as priority sectors, such as agriculture, small-scale industries and exports. And the best part of this help provided by government to this particular sector was profit were no longer the measure for success. It was solely done as an act of welfare rather than as a commercial activity. So hence this is a very important chapter to understand what is a priority sector, what are the categories of priority sectors, and what banking is provided for this sector. As said before, after nationalization, government gave specific guidelines to commercial banks to provide certain percentage of their total advances to the priority sector, and that percentage was fixed as 40% of the aggregated advances by 1985. Sub-targets within this priority sector were also specified for lending to agriculture and weaker sections, and that brought in great clarity of providing finance to the priority sector, every sub-sector of a priority sector. These are the various categories that are specified in the priority sector. The sectors, various categories are agriculture, micro, small and medium enterprises, export credit, education, housing, social infrastructure, renewable energy, and there are some other miscellaneous categories also included, which we'll see in the subsequent slides that are included in the priority sector. Let us understand one by one the targets that are prescribed, specified for commercial banks by RBI. We have two categories. First category is domestic commercial banks and foreign banks with 20 and more branches. The second category is for foreign banks with less than 20 branches. When we talk about overall total priority sector target for the first category, that is domestic commercial banks and foreign banks with 20 and above branches, 40% of adjusted net bank credit, popularly known as the ANBC or credit equivalent, amount of off-balance sheet exposure, whichever is higher. So 40% of this is the total priority sector exposure. Whereas for foreign banks with less than 20 branches, the total priority sector target is 32% of ENBC or credit equivalent amount of or balance sheet exposure, whichever is higher. Within this total priority sector, we have a separate sub-target for agriculture. It's 18% of ENBC or credit equivalent amount of off-balance sheet exposure, whichever is higher. For domestic commercial banks and foreign banks with 20 and above branches, whereas there is no specific applicable target for agriculture for foreign banks with less than 20 branches. For micro enterprises, there is a target of 7.5% of ENBC or the credit equivalent amount of balance sheet exposure or balance sheet exposure, whichever is higher in case of the first category, and there is no specific applicable target for foreign banks less than 20 branches. In case of advances to weaker section, for domestic commercial banks and for foreign banks having more than 20 branches, the target is 10% of ENBC or credit equivalent amount of off-balance sheet exposure, whichever is higher. Whereas in case of foreign banks with less than 20 branches, there is no specific target or target is not applicable to advances to the weaker sections. Now let us understand one by one each of these sectors of priority sector, the first one being agriculture. Bank provides finance for three main specific sectors of agriculture. That is the farm credit, the agriculture infrastructure, and the ancillary activities. When we talk about a farm credit, it includes your crop loans, your pre and post harvest activities. When we talk about agriculture infrastructure, it includes your storage facilities, soil conservation, plant tissue culture, etc. In case of ancillary activities, it includes agri clinics, food and agro processing, etc. So finance, it can comprise of both direct and indirect finance for this specific activities in case of agriculture priority sector advances. Next, let us look at the micro, small and medium enterprises. When we talk about these MSME enterprises, we can classify these enterprises into two sectors. On one side, we have the manufacturing sector. On the other side, we are having the services sector. And these are defined based on their investment in plant and machinery. Within this manufacturing, micro and small enterprises sector, we have a micro enterprise defined as that enterprise which has investment in plant and machinery not more than 25 lakhs. When it comes to small enterprise within manufacturing MSME sector, investment in plant and machinery can be more than 25 lakhs but cannot exceed rupees 5 crores. In case of medium enterprises of MSME manufacturing enterprise, investment in plant and machinery can be more than 5 crores but cannot exceed more than 10 crores. So these are the specific requirements for defining a micro, small or medium enterprises in case of a manufacturing MSME priority sector category. Now let us look at service sector MSME category. How is a micro, small and medium defined? In case of a service sector MSME priority sector, we have a micro enterprise whose investment in plant and machinery do not exceed 10 lakhs. In case of a small enterprise, investment in plant and machinery can be more than 10 lakhs but cannot exceed more than rupees 2 crores. Whereas in case of a medium enterprise, investment in plant and machinery can be more than 2 crores but cannot exceed rupees 5 crore. So this is specific definition for your micro, small and medium enterprises for the services sector. And in the previous slide, we saw the definition for micro, small and medium enterprises for the manufacturing sector. Now let us understand some specific details about manufacturing enterprises and service enterprises. When we talk about a manufacturing enterprises, the manufacturing enterprises are defined in terms of investment in plant and machinery. So that is the point on basis of which they are defined. The micro and small enterprises encouraged in the manufacture production of goods to any industry specified in the first schedule to the Industries Development and Regulation Act 1951 as notified by Government of India. So these manufacturing activities are specifically specified in the IDRA Act 1951. When we talk about service enterprises, all bank loans are to be provided to MSMEs engaged in providing or rendering of services as defined under MSMED Act 2006. So for manufacturing, it is the IDRA Act. For services, it is the MSMED Act 2006. Shall qualify under priority sector without any credit cap. So that is one important aspect of providing credit to micro, small and medium enterprises within the priority sector. Next important priority sector activity can be factoring transaction. Factoring transaction with recourse basis by banks which carry out the business of factoring departmentally. So this is one important requirement by RBI. Such activity has to be done departmentally. Whenever the assigner is a micro, small and medium enterprises subject to certain conditions may be classified by the banks under MSME category on the reporting date. So this is a specific case where factoring specifically done to MSME category can be a part of your priority sector. Next important category of a priority sector is the Khadi and Village Industry Sector, KVI. All loans sanctioned to units of the KVI sector will be eligible for classification under the sub-CAPRA target of 7.5% prescribed for the micro and small enterprises priority sector. We have export credit also included in the priority sector, and here we have clear-cut segregation between domestic foreign banks with more than 20 branches and foreign banks with less than 20 branches, as well as the domestic banks. Let us see one by one. In case of domestic bank, incremental export credit or corresponding date of the preceding year up to 2% of ANBC or credit equivalent amount of off-balance sheet exposure which is higher is the criteria for export with domestic banks. More or less, it's the same criteria for foreign banks with 20 branches and above. Whereas if you carefully note, your criteria for foreign banks with less than 20 branches is export credit will be allowed up to 32% of ANBC or credit equivalent amount of off-balance sheet exposure, whichever is higher. So these are the specific criteria for inclusion of export under the priority sector. Educational loans or finance given for educational purpose are also included under priority sector advance. Loans to individuals for educational purposes, including vocational courses, up to a limit of rupees 1 million, irrespective of the sanctioned amount, will be considered for priority sector. So here the cap is up to 1 million and the purpose has to be for educational. It can also include vocational courses. Housing finance is also an important aspect or sub category of a priority sector, but here also there are certain specifications for inclusion of housing loans under priority sector advance. Let us understand this very clearly. Loans to individuals up to rupees 3.5 million in metropolitan centers. So based on location, these limits are prescribed, with population about 10 lakhs and rupees 2.5 lakhs in other centers. So for metro centers, the cap is 3.5 million rupees. In case of other centers, it is 2.5 million rupees. And for what purpose this housing loan, home loan can be given for? It can be given for purchase, construction for dwelling unit per family, provided the overall cost of the dwelling in the metro center and at other centers does not exceed rupees 4.5 million and rupees 3 million respectively. That is 4.5 million in metro and 3 million in other centers. Loans for repairs to the damaged dwelling units of families, rupees up to 0.5 million in the metro and up to 0.2 rupees million in the other centers are also possible. Banks loan to any government agency for construction of dwelling units or slum clearance and rehabilitation of slum dwellers, subject to a ceiling of rupees 1 million per dwelling unit, also is included in this housing priority sector category. There are some more that are included, like the loans sanctioned by banks for housing projects exclusively for the purpose of construction of houses only to economically weaker sections and low income groups, the total cost which do not exceed rupees 1 million per dwelling unit. For the purpose of identifying the economically weaker sections and low income groups, the family income limit is revised to rupees 0.3 million per annum of EWS and rupees 0.6 million per annum for LIG in alignment with the income criteria specified under the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana. So some more types of finances that are included in the housing category are bank loans to housing finance companies, HFCs, approved by the National Housing Bank, for the refinance, for on-lending, for the purpose of purchase, construction, reconstruction of individual dwelling units, or for some clearances and rehabilitation of shown dwellers, subject to an aggregate limit of rupees 1 million per borrower. The next category of priority sector is social infrastructure. Bank loans up to rupees 50 million per borrower for activities namely schools, healthcare facilities, drinking water facilities and sanitation facilities, including construction, refurbishment of household toilets and household level water. Improvements in tier 2 and tier 6 centers are included under social infrastructure category. Yet another new category in priority sector is renewable energy. Bank loans up to a limit of rupees 150 million to borrowers for purposes like solar-based power generators, biomass-based power generators, windmills, micro-hydel plants, and for non-conventional energy-based utility, public utilities are included in this category. For individual households, the loan limit will be rupees 1 million per borrower. And after looking at these main categories, we have another category also, which are also included in the priority sectors. These are loans not exceeding rupees 50,000 per borrower, provided directly by banks to individuals and their SHG, JLG provided the borrower household annual income in rural areas does not exceed rupees 0.1 million, and for non-rural areas it should not exceed rupees 0.16 million. Within this others category, loan to distressed persons other than farmers already included, not exceeding 0.1 million per borrower to prepay the debt to non-institutional lenders, and loan sanctioned to state-sponsored organization for the scheduled caste, scheduled tribes for the specific purposes of purchase and supply of inputs and or marketing of the approvals of the beneficiaries or its organizations are included in this others category of priority sector advances. One important category of priority sector advances are the weaker sections. Priority sector loans to borrowers will be considered under weaker sections if they are provided to small and marginal farmers, artisans, village and cottage industries where individual credit limits do not exceed rupees 0.1 million, beneficiaries under government schemes such as the National Rural Livelihood Mission, NRLM, Scheduled Castes and Scheduled Tribes, beneficiaries of DRS schemes and the self-help groups. Investment by banks in the securitized assets also come into the priority sector category. Investment by banks in securitized assets representing loans to various categories of priority sectors except other categories are eligible for classification under respective category of priority sector depending on the underlying assets provided. The securitized assets are originated by banks and financial institutions and are eligible to be classified as priority sector advances prior to securitization and fulfill the RBI guidelines. This is a very important aspect for inclusion of priority sector bank investment of banks in secured assets under the priority sector. The all-inclusive interest charged to the ultimate borrower by the originating entity should not exceed the base rate of the investing bank plus 8% per annum. So these are the criteria that are required to be fulfilled in case of investments by banks in the securitized aspects to be classified under the priority sector. One more criteria is there for investment by banks in the securitized assets. That is investment made by the banks in the securitized assets originated by NBFCs where the underlying assets are loans against gold, jewelry are not eligible for priority sector status. So these are specifically exclusions within this particular category. What happens in case of transfer of assets through direct assignments or outright purchases? Assignments, outright purchases or pools of assets by banks representing loans under various categories of priority sectors except the other category will be eligible for classification under the respective categories of priority sector provided the assets are originated by banks and FIs and are eligible to be classified as priority sector advance prior to the purchase and fulfilling the RBI guidelines on outright purchase and assignment. The eligible loan assets so purchased should not be disposed of other than by way of repayment. The all-inclusive interest charged to the ultimate borrower by the originating entity should not exceed the base rate of the purchasing bank plus 8% per annum. So these are the criteria specifically applicable for transfer of assets through direct assignments or through outright purchase. There are some more conditions in this. When the banks undertake the outright purchase, of the loan assets from the bank FIs to be classified as the priority sector, they must report the nominal amount actually disbursed to and priority sector borrowers and not a premium embedded amount paid to the sellers. Purchase assignment investment transactions undertaken by the banks with the NBFCs where the underlying assets are loan against gold jewelry here again are not eligible for priority sector status. Now let us understand about interbank participation certificates bought by the banks. The interbank participation certificates bought by the banks on a risk sharing basis shall be eligible for classification in the respective categories of the priority sector. They have to fulfill one condition, that is provided the underlying assets are eligible to be categorized under the respective categories of the priority sector and the banks fulfill the RBI guidelines on the interbank participate certificates bought by the banks. Priority sector lending certificates. The outstanding priority sector lending certificates bought by banks will be eligible for classification under respective categories of priority sector, provided assets are originated by banks are eligible to be classified as priority sector advances and they fulfill the RBI guidelines on priority sector lending certificates issued. Bank loans to FIs for on lending. Banks credit to MFIs extended for end lending to the individuals and also to members of the SHGs and the JLGs will be eligible for categorization as priority sector advance provided not less than 85% of the total assets of the MFIs are in the nature of qualifying assets. In addition, aggregate amount of the loan extended for income generation activity is not less than 50% of the total loans given by the MFI. Co-origination of loans by banks and NBFCs, what happens about this category? All scheduled commercial banks, excluding RRBs and small finance banks, may engage with NBFC NDSIs to co-originate loans for the creation of priority sector assets. Monitoring of priority sector lending targets is very important because only then the government will know whether the purpose for which this priority sector category was created is being fulfilled or not. For the monitoring purpose, compliance of banks will be monitored on quarterly basis. The data on priority sector advances has to be furnished by banks at quarterly as well as annually intervals. This data is furnished to RBI. And what happens in case of non-achievement of these priority sector targets? Is there any penalty? All scheduled commercial banks having shortfall in lending to priority sector target or sub-target shall be allocated amounts for contribution to the Rural Infrastructure Development Fund, RIDF, established under the NABARD and other funds with NABARD or NHB or SIDB or other financial institutions as decided by RBI from time to time. So they cannot shirk away from the responsibility in giving providing finance to the priority sector. If they fail to do so, then they have to contribute to this fund. The achievement levels of priority sector lending as on March 31st will be taken into account for deciding whether the total target per annum has been fulfilled or achieved or not. Common guidelines for priority sector as specially provided by RBI are with rate to rate of interest. The rates of interest on various categories of priority sector loans will be as per the DBOT directive issued from time to time by RBI. In case of service charges, loan loans related and ad hoc service or inspection charges should be levied on priority sector loans up to ₹25,000. With respect to receipt, sanction, rejection and disbursement register, a register electronic record, it can be physical or even electronic, should be maintained by the bank wherein the date of receipt, sanction, reject, disbursement with reasons thereof should be recorded. Issue of acknowledgement of loan applications. Bank should provide an acknowledgement for loan applications received under priority sector loans. So this is actually fixing accountability on the banks to duly respond to the applications that are given by this priority sector borrowers. Thank you.